Our first scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 34, verses 1 through 12. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him the whole land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the plain, that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. The Lord said to him, this is the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there. Then Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab at the Lord's command. He buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth-Peor, but no one knows where his burial place is to this day. Moses was 120 years old, wow, when he died. His sight was unimpaired, and his vigor had not abated. The Israelites wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the period of mourning for Moses was ended. Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. And the Israelites obeyed him, doing as the Lord had commanded Moses. Never since has there arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He was unequaled for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his servants and his entire land, and for all the mighty deeds and all the terrifying displays of power that Moses performed in the sight of Israel. Our New Testament reading this morning is found in the book of John, John 6, verses 27 through 40. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to perform the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, what sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Now, I have to warn you, this morning the jokes are bad. They are dad jokes, and they have absolutely nothing to do with the sermon. What kind of spells do leprechauns use? Lucky charms. What do you call a leprechaun's vacation home? A leprechaundo. I told you they were bad. Why do leprechauns hate amusement parks? The same reason I do. They're too short for the rides. This is my favorite. What do you call an Irish spider? Paddy Long Legs. And this one I'll bet you get. What kind of a bow can't be tied? A rainbow. Very good. So let's set that aside and focus. Our Lenten journey continues, and we come today to the Jordan Valley, which is both a sad and joyful time. I mean, for 40 years, the Israelites have been wandering in the wilderness, in the desert, as punishment for their disobedience while Moses was receiving the Ten Commandments on the mountaintop. And the time has finally come, finally, to enter the Promised Land. All they have to do is cross the River Jordan. However, they will do so without the man who led them out of bondage in Egypt, the man who brought them God's law, the man who has guided them through the wilderness. After all he has done in the Lord's service, Moses is not allowed to enter the Promised Land. How harsh and disappointing this seems to us. I mean, it seems so unfair after everything Moses has done. But for a long time, Moses knew he would not be allowed to set foot in the land that God had promised their ancestor Abraham. And Scripture has several reasons for why, but I think that the one that I'm drawn to the most is that Moses intervened for the people to God. God wanted to punish them, and Moses intervened for them. And so I think this was kind of the payoff, so to speak, that God would listen to Moses, but that Moses wouldn't get to see the Promised Land. Moses would not cross the Jordan River. So imagine being one of those people on that journey. 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. No triptych from AAA. No GPS system. No corner gas station or camel stop where you could ask for directions. I mean, they have been eventful years, to be sure, beginning with water, just as our new life in Christ begins with the waters of baptism. But theirs was in the crossing of the Red Sea, which is a familiar picture of baptism, where sin is drowned and washed away, and we come forth rescued and renewed, refreshed, cleansed, and sent on our way as the people of God, redeemed to live in God's glory. These 40 years in the wilderness have seen that, haven't they? Mount Sinai, with its revelation of the terrible majesty of the Lord God, surrounded by smoke and thunder and the commandments of the Lord. And also with the concern of the Lord, that it may be well with you. And that is why the Lord is leading us this way. 40 years in the wilderness, 40 days in Lent, 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness being tempted, that it may be well with you. The directive of a loving God who has chosen us to be God's own. And these 40 years have demonstrated the providence of our God, feeding us day by day along the way. I mean, even in the 40 days of Lent have demonstrated that. I mean, we refer to the Lenten fast as giving up certain things, going without, but we are not starving by any means. I mean, when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we're pretty sure we know where it's coming from and that it will be here tomorrow, and there might be a Twinkie or two in it as well. I mean, here in the wilderness, we have learned to worship as well. Week after week and year after year, We practice and perfect those routines by which we draw close to God and feel God draw closer to us. Praying and praising, listening and learning, receiving and giving, to the point where, like the ancient Israelites in their wilderness, we may get to talking or to taking all of this for granted, never realizing what a blessing it is, what we would be missing if we did not have this time of worship each week. And all of this, of course, all of life at last, is to bring us to this point, the crossing of the Jordan, our entrance into the promised land. And God allows Moses a glimpse of what lay ahead. But then the greatest servant of God dies at God's command. It seems so sad. But however, something amazing happens in this Jordan Valley that I think a lot of people, you might be familiar with Moses, you know, before Pharaoh and the plagues and leading the people and crossing the Red Sea and all of that, but you might not know this little end to Moses' life. Scripture says, after Moses has died, that the Lord buried him somewhere in the valley of the land of Moab. Can you imagine that? God loved Moses so much that God buried him. I don't know about you, but that just almost gives me goosebumps to think of that. And it was by looking across the Jordan Valley that God granted Moses a vision of what was in store for his people. And it is by looking across the season of Lent that we begin to get a glimpse of what the Lord our God has in store for us, where eventually our Savior is leading us to the cross, to be sure, to the contemplation of his wondrous love for us, to the table in the upper room, where we may personally partake of the bread of life, a foretaste of the things to come. And then with our Lord leading the way the Ark of the Covenant went before God's ancient people, we step into the final river only to discover that it will not drown us. It is dry. Our way across has been prepared by the one who went this way first. Take the time this Lent to gaze out upon the valleys before you and catch a vision of what the Lord has in store beyond. And when this journey is done and that final valley has been crossed, the promised land awaits. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.